Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, Ron Janix, I have to tell you this. Sometimes in the past, when we mention the event of which your co-owner, Contact in the Desert, we kind of lampoon it. Like contact in the desert, desert being something else, or conflict in the desert. But I have to tell you, nothing personal here.
Okay, good.
I wanted to get that out of the way so you won't hate us till later.
Terrific.
Good. Okay. Obviously, you've been doing this for a long time. What got you interested in the paranormal community?
I'm one of those guys that's always been interested. It didn't take me an experience like many people in this community. They've had some sort of an experience. I haven't. It's just something that I was drawn to, I became interested in. Just like everybody else, it's the usual suspects. It's, you know, Art Bell, Coast to Coast, you know, reading Whitley Strieber, early book, Communion, and Van Daniken and all that. And those are the kind of things that just, they just seem so curious to me. And so interesting to me, and that just sort of sucked me in. And then, of course, you want to read more. And more you get involved in it, the more you get interested in it, the more you feel like, why aren't more people paying more attention to this? Because there does seem to be something of value here.
Do you have any conclusions, or are you at the point of, well, there's something going on, but I don't know?
That's where I'm at. There's something going on, I don't know, but I do feel there's enough to warrant a serious take. There's enough to warrant a serious scientific investigation, and I'm frustrated by how much of the world just dismisses this out of hand without looking at the facts. You know, the old Stanton Friedman, don't bother me with the facts, I've already made up my mind. I feel like if people took a hard look at the data that is available out there, they might have a different opinion of it.
Of course, that's one of the problems there's always been, where UFOs, by the very nature of their implications, if they're real, if they're solid craft, causes people to go apoplectic. And that's just being kind to them. So we understand the dismissal. The other thing here, of course, would be the age-old question here. Do the governments of Earth know anything, or are they just dismissing it because it's not within the four corners of their little jobs?
That is a good question. And, you know, we have these whistleblowers that come out. You know, last year, as a matter of fact, coincidentally, during Contact in the Desert, David Grosh came out and as an eyewitness, as a whistleblower. There's been other people that have made these claims from within the government. And, you know, I try to look at all this stuff with a very logical eye. I mean, it just makes logical sense that they may know something like that. They may very well have a lot of information. I just don't know what's the reason for them to disclose. I mean, I know we all want disclosure, but what if you did have that information, if it's true that they know more about this, well, what's the advantage to them to release it?
Wouldn't that depend on what they know? Because if they know, for example, that we're being visited by intelligence beings from another planet, another dimension, whatever, to what advantage would a revelation be? Wouldn't it have the reverse effect?
Right. What if what they know is that these aliens like to eat humans, and every now and then people that go missing are being eaten by aliens or whatever? You know, who knows what they know?
So we're cattle.
Could very well be. You know, the whole thing about talking about these subjects, and I love talking about them and hearing people's opinion, it's just, you know, we're dealing with an unknown. I get frustrated by the folks that come on these things, and they claim to know the answer to all of these things, and I just feel like that's... I don't know who really does know. I feel like it's a very tangled web, and there's a lot of unknowns. And at the core, the whole thing is an unknown. So we're really all just speculating, in my opinion.
Well, at this point, obviously, you and I can shake hands because we don't pretend to know anything. And I've been following this a couple of years more than you have, I think, because I go back to the days of Long John Neville. Remember him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pre-Art Bell, absolutely.
Yes, he was in the 50s and 60s for the most part and died in the 70s. But I met him a couple of times. He was, shall we say, not the nicest person.
Oh, too bad. That's cool that you met him, though, and that's great. Yeah, that was that. I think he's probably the first radio guy, right, in this area?
Well, he invented the format, pretty much. He was an auctioneer in New Jersey, and somehow his name and his performance got to the people over at WOR in New York, one of the then classic clear channel stations heard over half the country. He got this gig and no one expected anything from it. And he developed it into talking to people about anything. It wasn't just UFOs. It wasn't the paranormal. It was politics. It was anything. The range of guests was fascinating. For example, Jackie Gleason would show up. We all remember Jackie Gleason. He was very, very seriously interested in the paranormal, particularly flying saucers. He also talked with a magician and writer name of Walter B. Gibson, who wrote 300 novels for a pulp magazine under the name Maxwell Grant, and the character he brought us, or helped bring us, was The Shadow.
Cool.
Right?
Very.
And then another regular he had, we might as well mention, it was an actor named Kai D. Now, we remember Kai D as being the evil Oriental psychiatrist or hypnotist in the original Manchurian Candidate, and also on TV, Woe Fat on the original Hawaii Five-O.
Cool.
And he was a regular on Long John because he was a really smart guy and had lots of questions. There was also once, probably in the late 50s or early 60s, one time only, a young man named Wally Steinberg, who did okay. I don't think he cared so much about it. He was too busy with other things. That was my late brother. So he was on there. I was never on the show, but that's as close as I came.
Very cool. That's interesting.
That's before my brother became part of Big Pharma. Don't get me started with that. I think the obvious question as you pursue our interest here, Ron, did you ever see anything strange, a UFO?
No, well, actually, yeah, there is. I did see one just a few years ago, as a matter of fact. It's a very bizarre incident, but I was actually doing an interview with Stephen Greer, of all people, Dr. Stephen Greer, and I'll be damned if we didn't see what I would call a UFO. We saw a fireball. It looked to me like a little sun that was like on a flight path, no sound, and it went right over our head and right on by, very straight line, just like a plane would, but it wasn't a plane. It looked exactly like the sun, and he saw it coming from a ways away, and he pointed at it, and I'm like, what is he talking about? And I'll be damned, it was there, and it went by, and it was pretty interesting. I have no idea what that was. That's the only time I've ever seen anything anomalous like that. But, you know, obviously we've heard thousands of accounts from people. And you know, again, you only need one. I always think of that, you know. If 999,000 are wrong, but one of them really was a UFO or really was a spacecraft or whatever, that's all we need.
Right. One sighting, that's it. But, of course, the big question is, to a lot of people over the years, that one case is Roswell. Of course, therein lies a tale, because that's one of these things where so many people have cashed in. I am the Roswell expert. They've written books about it. Stan Friedman, our old friend Stan, was one of the early people to investigate Roswell, and he was a contributor to the book from Charles Berlitz and William Moore on the Roswell incident. Supposedly did a lot of the research, but take it from me, I knew Berlitz, that he got the credit. I hope he got some dollars from it, but he wasn't listed as a co-author of the book, and that may have been unfortunate as we go. Anyway, we're going to have a lot more to discuss with our guest this week, and that's Ron Janix, and we'll talk about contact and the desert without any puns. With Gene Tim and Ron, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, I raised the R word. Ron, what
yes, sir?
Do you think?
R word? What's the R word?
Oh, Roswell.
Oh, well, Roswell. Yeah. You know, I mean, I know it's a little cliche and it's a little pop culture-y to say Roswell, but I'm one of those guys that when people ask me about this, I'm a big fan of Roswell. I've read a lot of the Tom Carey and Don Schmidt and some of the other authors on Roswell. To me, the thing about Roswell that's so wonderful is the incredible amount of data that they've collected. And there's so many different eyewitnesses they've been able to cull together. And I feel that Roswell really is a genuine, strong case. And there's so many little fascinating aspects of Roswell that just seem to fit together. And I find it very, very compelling. And, you know, there's a few of those guys that did deathbed confessions and I want this opened upon my death and I want my granddaughter to know that I saw this or whatever. That's extremely compelling to someone like myself. Why would somebody do this? Is that a hoax? Is that a joke? Doesn't even feel that way to me at all. I find that extremely compelling. These are respected military guys, and then they decide to do a deathbed confession for their granddaughter. It's pretty compelling. So I find a Roswell a great place to start. I think it's got so much data, so many compelling stories that all fit together. I think those guys have uncovered a lot of incredible little ancillary players that seem to fit right into the story. And that makes an open person like me pretty compelled to believe it.
What bothers me about Roswell is the fact that the details came out 30 years later, and there are loads of contradictions. And as Kevin D. Randall explored in the various books he's written, including Roswell in the 21st Century, unfortunately, you have these contradictions, and some things honestly didn't survive the reinvestigation. But any time you look at something 30 years later, unless you have specific physical evidence to deal with, you're going to get problems.
Of course. Of course. But it's also important, I think, that Roswell, because of its notoriety, I think it inspires other people to look at the subject as a whole. And it brings people into the community and maybe makes them look at another case.
Do you think there were any other possible UFO crashes?
Yes. You know, I find it also very interesting. Like, you know, the naysayers will say, you have the ability to travel all the way across the universe and then you crash in Roswell. And that's a great point. It does seem like wouldn't they have technology better to prevent this? But sure, there's other compelling cases out there. It's all unknown. It's all hard to say. But yes, I do think it's very possible that this has happened. And then, you know, you got the whistleblowers coming out of Area 51 saying that they have recovered craft and they are looking at backward engineering stuff. You know, it's certainly interesting to me. And I feel, again, there's enough there that warrants more investigation. I just don't think you can just dismiss all of this out of hand.
The big deal with Roswell, of course, is it's so long since it happened. The people who were there when it happened are gone. So we have to depend on recordings of their testimony, so-called deathbed confessions, things like that. Physical evidence we don't have, and if it's real, we'll never get it.
Hey, Gene, what do you think about that photograph they have of him holding the paper, and now they've like used computers to zoom in, and it says like recovered a disc or whatever. You know, I know it's a little bit of speculation, but it does seem like he's got that in his hand. Ramey has that in his hand. I find that very interesting, and how it sort of ties right into the narrative. What do you think of that?
I think that there's a little guesswork involved there, trying to impute something in the document that may or may not be there. I think at this point we still don't know. On the other hand, with AI, we might. I mean, if they can take a cassette recording of John Lennon with a 60 hertz hum, with a TV playing in the background, singing on the piano, separate his voice, make it clear, pure, for the recording of now and then, they could certainly take photos of something and use AI to really interpret it to something possibly more realistic. The technology may not have been there then or some years back. I think it's here now. It depends on whether people want to care. Isn't this a Twining memo we're talking about?
Yes, it is. Exactly. And I think that's a very interesting point. And it's interesting you're bringing up the AI thing, because right now I feel like this is just about as if it could get any more cloudy. I always talk about how there's so much misinformation and disinformation in this community. It's about to get a lot worse because, you know, I've recently been reading about this text to video. How incredible is that? So now you can just, you know, text that I saw a UFO, and then AI will spit out this video of UFOs, and we're going to have a harder time discerning what's a real photograph, what's a real video, what's an eyewitness. I think it's just going to get muddier and muddier and worse for people that want to believe that this is UFOs. You know what I'm saying?
It's difficult now, and I agree with you that there's a point here where anything within reason can be duplicated by AI in terms of text, in terms of photos, in terms of movies. So what do you believe? Then again, what bothers me about the so-called new Pentagon investigation of UFOs is they're not concentrating on the older cases. They only care about those after 2004 with the Tic Tac case. All that stuff before Roswell, nobody's looking into Roswell again. If there's something there, we're not going to get to the bottom of it until they actually go back, unless, of course, we have the secret government that's holding on to it.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting that they're only looking at the newer stuff. And the newer stuff is now is when we have Photoshop and now we have AI. And this is in the hands of everybody. This isn't like only certain people. You know, maybe certain people had it earlier than we have now, and maybe they were able to manipulate something. It's all so hard to say, and I think it also just gives more ammunition to people that want to dismiss this, because it's easy to just now say, oh, that's a Photoshop, oh, that's AI, oh, that's garbage. And that's a shame, too, because now what do you do with a genuine interaction photograph? You know what I mean? It's going to be harder for those people. I think there's this big arc where it was really hard because it was so vilified in the past. And then now it's a little more open in the last 5, 6, 7 years that people are willing to talk about their sightings in the general world. And now it's going to go the other way because it's so easy to dismiss it. It's going to be like, well, this guy's just trying to sell a book or sell a movie or sell a picture or whatever he's doing.
We have some people who want to sell something right now, so we'll take a pause that refreshes with Ron, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
News update.
I got my usual warm reception from Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Fresh off the State of the Union, President Biden in Philadelphia Friday.
Folks, our freedoms really are in the ballot this November. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans are trying to take away our freedoms. That's not an exaggeration. Well, guess what? We will not let him.
Former President Trump taking to his social media platform, Truth Social, to weigh in on Biden's State of the Union address.
Joe Biden is on the run from his record and lying like crazy to try and escape accountability for the horrific devastation he and his party have created, all the while they continue the very policies that are causing this horror show to go. We cannot take it any longer as a country.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
It's a messy situation out there, but let's look at different things. Obviously, the implication here is if Roswell involved the crash of an advanced aircraft from out there somewhere, who is keeping the secret? And how do you keep a secret decade after decade as personnel change, as political climate changes? How do you get away with it?
Well, that's an awesome question. Who knows? You know, and even in this subculture, I feel like it's really moved away from the nuts and bolts craft. I'm sure you guys feel that a lot of people now talk about interdimensional craft and that sort of thing. So it's very hard to say. And I don't know how do you bury that? I assume as these people die off, it would become a smaller and smaller select group who has that knowledge, obviously for technological reasons and military reasons, I would think. Just logically, I would think that would get a smaller and smaller black group that knows what's going on, I would think. But, you know, everything's a guess.
Do you think it takes us almost to the Raiders of the Lost Ark scenario, where, of course, Indiana Jones and his girlfriend recover the Ark of the Covenant? They say, we're going to check it out and everything, and they stick it in Warehouse 13. Exactly. And with all the other dusty artifacts accumulated right through the years. So what do you do with it?
Wouldn't it be funny?
I don't know. I know that part in the movie actually, I think, inspired the TV show Warehouse 13, where
right
advanced artifacts are kept. But if that's happening, someone has to have the keys.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's hard to believe that there's just some warehouse somewhere with a UFO sitting in it. I mean, even the stories of the metal alone, I mean, I'm sure this is being scrutinized every which way. If they did recover something, you know they're going to take every little piece apart and examine each and every little thing. Why wouldn't you? The question I have is, like, that makes sense that they would do that. Why would you tell the world about it is another question. I don't see any reason for anybody to disclose anything. I have a really hard time believing that that's on the horizon, like a lot of people in our community feel is coming. And I know we're getting an inch closer, but we're moving at a glacial pace here. I don't feel like this is the flood that we're all hoping for. This is just creeping along, and I feel like there's no impetus to do it. Unless some other country's about to do it, or there is an alien race coming here, and they feel like they're about to do it, there's no reason to do it. Why would you?
Well, one of the things to consider here, too, is we have certain rogue nations we all know about. And it may not be advantageous for us to do it, but if they have guilty knowledge, and they maybe have recovered some technology from a crashed UFO, wouldn't they have the need, desire, or advantage to say, we've got the truth, now here it is? I can see maybe a Putin saying that, or the fellow from China or Iran.
North Korea, any of those. I absolutely agree. And another thing, there's this guy come into contact named Matthew James Bailey. He wrote the book called The Ethics of AI. And we were talking about AI here a minute ago, and it ties in here in that, you know, if we need to put these guardrails on artificial intelligence and we have to type ethics into the code of artificial intelligence, that's all well and good. I still think, what about these rogue nations like you brought up? They might not do that. They don't have the same sensibility that we might. So they may create artificial intelligences without these guardrails. That's really dangerous to me.
It may have already been happening. Of course, when you look at artificial intelligence, there are already indications there that it can do unexpected things. And I think here, sci-fi has predicted this. What about Skynet?
Mm-hmm.
If you remember the first Terminator movie from the 1980s, where this cyborg comes from the 21st century to kill this person who would become one of the rebels, whatever it is, Skynet being this neural network that takes control. With AI, there's a possibility of that. What do you think?
Well, that also is talking about time travel-ish, right?
Right. That's another thing, too. But let's start with the AI, then we can go into the time travel aspect.
The time travel is really tough for me. The AI, yeah. I mean, boy, I could really see that, you know? You know, it's interesting you're bringing this up about AI, because we have a contingent of that at Contact this year. And I find this fascinating that this stuff's coming out now. I want to get your thoughts on this, too, Gene. Do you feel that, you know, when they talk about these craft that they see, and sometimes they talk about how these orbs will make a 90-degree turn at 1,000 miles an hour, and they said, oh, my God, a pilot couldn't do that. Their brain would come out the side of their head and that sort of thing. Well, you know what? It's more likely than not, if another civilization was out there and they were sending something here, they would send a machine, an artificially intelligent, controlled machine that doesn't sleep, doesn't eat, doesn't get sick, have any of the problems that a biological being would, and it could handle those 90-degree turns, and it could handle all of those things, and that just makes sense. That's what we're going to do. We're going to send artificial intelligence out in the space to explore. That, to me, logically makes much more sense that that's what would come to our planet from another star system, is somebody would develop a artificial intelligently controlled probe, if you will, send it here, collect data, and send it back. Doesn't that make sense logically?
There was a story or a book I read, I think from Jack Williamson, written many years ago, where he talked about these humans who've created an artificial or clone of themselves. And rather than travel through space, they download their consciousness into one of the clones who does whatever they're going to do. And then when they return, whatever they learned, whatever they experienced, is then uploaded to the originator. So, therefore, we have this conjoined kind of relationship here. Kind of crazy, but I would think I would want to experience it myself. It's almost like Total Recall, where you're given this memory implant of a learned or experience, say, whatever you want to be. And from there, you don't have to go anywhere to be a spy. Of course, if you remember the movie where what he dreamed or what was implanted into his brain turned out to be real. But they were smart about it, too, because at the end of the movie, you go back and think, you know what? Maybe this was all an experience, and Arnold is still sitting back there in the chair back on Earth.
Right. Yeah, I love that film. I agree. I think that's, as we get more and more advanced here, you can see how this stuff almost seems like it's not going to be impossible. You know, I don't know how right around the corner it is, but I think we could get to this place where you could, you know, even when people have a hallucination under drugs or whatever, or even during a dream, while you're experiencing that dream or under a hallucination, you believe 100% that it's real. There's no distinguishing it. It's only when you come out of that dream or that hallucination that you're able to reflect upon the fact that that wasn't real. It was merely a dream or a hallucination, and you're back to reality. But during it, you don't know the difference.
Well, that also gets back to a core question that you've just raised. What is the dream and what is the reality? Are we living the dream now? Is this all a simulation? Or is this real?
Rizwan Burk?
You know, what is this that we live in?
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to say. Rizwan Burk and these guys, they've even calculated there's just like a percentage of, I don't remember the number, but they've come up with some number. It's like whatever, 15% chance that this is a simulation. I don't know how they came up with that figure or whatever it was, but it's something curious to think about. It's hard. As a conscious being, I feel like it's very hard to believe that. I feel like that's a step too far.
You know what? We have this step to take, and we'll get back. A simulation. Ron, Gene, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com. Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Do we all live in a simulation? Is it strawberry fields, nothing is real, nothing to get hung about? Why did I bring that up? Anyway, seriously speaking, Ron Janix, we were exploring whether we all live in a simulation. And the ultra-terrestrials out there run things, but they're kind of crazy and wacky, so crazy, wacky things happen. I don't know what to believe about that. I would like to think this is the real world, but then sometimes things happen to me where I say, wouldn't it be better if that wasn't real?
Be better, but I don't know that. I have a very hard time believing in the simulated universe. I mean, that is a real stretch. Why would we dream, for example, or have hallucinations? Like, did somebody really program something that would experience dreams? I mean, I don't know. That's a real tough one for me. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to think about, like many of these topics, but I just don't think that there's much of a possibility that this is simulated, you know, and it's even like the, what do they call it? The non-player, you know, in the gaming thing, there's the non-players that are just walking around. I just feel like that's just a step too far for me.
There was an article in Popular Mechanics recently about studies in consciousness where below the surface, maybe in some aspect of quantum physics, we're all integrated with the universal consciousness. So even though we exist separately here, we may still be part of that whole. And when we disappear for whatever reason, we are reintegrated back into it. But now we have scientists rather than philosophers, rather than ministers bringing up this possibility.
Gene, I think that's an incredible point you just made. And I, shockingly, sort of believe that. I feel like, you know, going back even to Planck said that consciousness was, I forgot the way he said it, but he was saying that consciousness was the source of all of these things. I feel that could very well be possible. You know, going back through legends and myths and science, they talk about things being connected and how everything is connected to one another. Why could that not be possible? And isn't it fun? If people read the mainstream scientific views right now, it reads like science fiction, a lot of this stuff. The quantum physics of one thing turning on, and then at the exact same time, the other one does. I can't think of the phrase I'm thinking of. And it's fascinating to me, and I feel, why couldn't that be the thing? There's this big debate whether or not the brain is a receiver, or if the brain actually has the thoughts originate there. You know what I mean? Are we all tapped into the Akashic record somehow, and we're all sharing that same database? Or, you know, is it cloud computing, or is it all on our own internal hard drive? And I think that needle has moved recently more towards the possibility that we are actually just using our brain as a receiver, and we're tapping into the Akashic record. What do you feel, Gene?
The cloud, everything is related to the cloud now. I mean, again, the cloud can become or be part of a universal intelligence, and that's where the AI is involved. It takes on a life of its own. Tim, you've been listening to all this back and forth. What's your feeling?
Well, talking about AI, it just makes me think there's been some speculation recently that AI could be brought in to really help us try to solve the problem of UFOs. I'm not quite sure, you know, how they think they could do it. I mean, you had talked about earlier the training documents, trying to get a better resolution of what was on those papers, but that AI could be brought in maybe to, you know, get a much better examination of not only UFO phenomena, but other types of paranormal activity, I suppose, look for connections and correlations. So we could actually bring this in to help us solve these mysteries, in my opinion.
And that's spot on. You know, I've seen where they already have put these cameras out in certain rural communities where they will point it at the sky, and it is studying, you know, because it's machine learning and it keeps learning that this is a helicopter, this is a aircraft, this is a satellite, this is a meteor, and it's able to distinguish what each of those anomalies are. How great if in the very near future it will be able to really point out, okay, this one is unidentified. It doesn't fit into any of the categories that I have learned. You know what I mean? I think this could be an excellent tool for this community, and it will spit out this many things happened that we were unable to identify. And now you have more scientific data that people can point to. I think this is the future of this area of study right here. AI cameras pointed at the sky, identifying these things. I think that's spot on, Tim.
Well, our mutual friend, Chris O'Brien, has been involved in just such a project for a few years now, and has, you know, so far had some moderate success capturing images and then, you know, trying to determine just what exactly they're looking at. So, like you said, if we are able to get AI to take a close look at these images, plus all the other data that is coming down with them, you know, electromagnetic field identification, things like that, it's going to be amazing. However, are there going to be difficulties with getting people to accept the information that's coming in?
You had talked about that, Tim. Then the speculation will be, oh, that's a different kind of military craft that you guys just don't know yet. You can't identify it because they've created this new type of propulsion or whatever it is. And that'll be the speculation. Tim, you hit on something that I think is really important that we haven't covered today, which is the way the world has moved in the last 4, 5, 10 years, let's say, everybody's got their own little beliefs and their own little niche groups and whatnot. I think if they came out with the president on the front lawn saying, okay, UFOs are real, I think there's a huge segment of population that wouldn't believe him. They would just flat out say, nope, he's wrong. Where I don't think that was the case in 1950.
Yeah. Right. Well, people were more trusting and willing to accept the information that was coming down, you know, from leaders. Now, not so much.
Right.
Well, and you had talked about, you know, earlier about a disclosure. Disclosure being, I suppose, every individual having their own different version of it. So, again, back to, you know, what AI is discovering, as with disclosure, you're going to have all these different groups saying, well, no, that's not the disclosure that I believe in. You know, it's almost like a dogmatic religion.
Absolutely. I think everyone has their own definition of disclosure. And even, like I said, even if the top guy, the president, says it, there'll be a segment that doesn't believe him. You guys remember back in 2001 when they had the disclosure thing from Dr. Stephen Greer? If you watch those interviews of the eyewitnesses that testified at the National Press Club in 2001, that, like, the night before, they all talk about how they didn't sleep at all, and they had been stressed about this for weeks, because they thought once they do this the next day, that was it. That was full disclosure, and the whole world would believe that this was real. And it was really more of just a blip than they thought. It's interesting how we all have our own paradigm of what disclosure is and what really means disclosure. We've had different levels of disclosure. We've had whistleblowers. We had the thing I'm referring to in 2001 with Stephen Greer. And then the Stephen Bassett one 10 years later or 15 years later. And, you know, these are events that I think at the time those people thought was going to move the needle completely, and in reality they don't. They do a little bit in this community, but outside of that, most people have kind of made up their mind. I find that shocking, but I think that really is how it is.
Of course, there's so many voices to listen to on so many viewpoints. It's one reason maybe they don't get through that way. Ron Janik, of course, is one of those responsible for Contact in the Desert. We'll ask more about that as we progress with Ron, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.